We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
Hello and welcome to the Two-Man Power Trip. I am your host, JP John Paz. With me here, of course, the former ECW and WCW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
Good, JP. How are you?
Very good. Now, as far as CM Punk is concerned, I just want to get your take on this because, you know, you're saying Wild West and all this craziness. Seemed like AEW's got a lot of that Wild West going on with them. What did you think of him being fired? Were you shocked when that happened?
I like to hear, I like to know what transpired behind that curtain. And here's what I've heard, okay? Correct me if I'm wrong. Does CM Punk have the ability to say, don't use that real glass?
I don't know. Maybe as like a veteran kind of thing, but not as like he's got power backstage.
Okay. Well, the kid used it, right?
Yep.
Did Jungle Boy come back and bump Punk?
That, according to every account that I've read and all the wrestlers that, have talked about it, yes.
So he initiated it, right?
Yes, yes.
If you fire Punk, you got to fire the kid. Don't you?
I totally agree. He's suspended, quote-unquote, indefinitely, but he definitely should be fired. I mean, that's ridiculous.
If I punch, if I come back from a show and walk over and punch a guy in the face, and he punches me back or chokes me out, he gets fired and I don't?
Insane.
I don't understand that one. Unless it's a whole work into itself, but I don't think so.
A work by, you mean like Khan and Punk?
Yeah. Could you see that?
Oof. Not in this day and age, but that would be kind of interesting.
I don't see that either. That's what I mean. So, I mean, and they guys seem to get hurt quite a bit, right?
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
So he basically initiates, but there's even supposedly film of this, of him like initiating it, and that happens. If that happened at WCW, would either guy be fired or reprimanded, or would if anything it would have happened?
Back then?
Mm-hmm.
When the famous story, I told Paul to go get Vader.
Yep.
And I... they didn't come back out. I went down there. I saw Vader bear claw Paul. He slapped him. And, you know, there was a slant back at center stage. And Vader pushed Paul into a box, a traveling box, you know, one of those wooden ones.
Yep.
And everybody split them apart. Well, I knew Paul's ego. He would have died. I said, let them go. And I let Paul go. He knocked him out with that bad arm. And he dropped him to his knees and kicked him with flip-flops on. And Vader's head touched his heels. His face swelled up. If he had that cowboy boots on, he might have killed him. And if Paul was not afflicted with that bad arm, who knows what would have happened? Never should have let that one go. But I never thought it would escalate to that. But hey, I mean, didn't they? Let's go back. People are going to say, well, you go back in time. You're a baseball fan. Reggie Jackson and Billy Martin?
Yep.
Fighting in the fuck. In the dugout during the game, coaches and coaches and ball players pulling them both back. Do you remember that?
Yep, insane. Yep.
Yes, they didn't fire either one of them.
Well, I guess with the Paul Orndorff Vader incident, didn't that lead to Vader being fired though?
Well, yeah, but there was other problems before that coming. It was just that was the last straw. And Paul was an employee.
I was going to say, when you look at it, he was technically office, right?
He was more than office. He was an employee. He was not longer a wrestler. So that's what happened with Vader.
When you look at Punk, though, should he have been fired?
I mean, I just said they got him. What was he supposed to stand there and let be punked out?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. So, I mean, I don't know. But
there is a little bit after it that it hasn't really been talked about much, but Tony Khan says he feared for his life. And for some God knows what reason, he was out in front of the Chicago crowd talking about it. I guess the lawyer says, okay, to say it in public. And then in a media scrum, he talked about it as well. But they were saying he feared for his life. Tony was fearing for his life.
what have you heard anything about that, or like what is like the point of throwing that out there?
Well, do they have that on film?
Apparently, I guess where the camera was, you could see most of what was going on.
Okay, have you seen it?
No. This is an internal investigation thing, but I've read all over the sheets or whatever that they have film of it. I'm sure those guys talked to Tony and whoever else works for AEW.
Something crazy must have happened. You know, Punk probably was out of his mind with rage.
Yep.
Tony probably was, because Tony wouldn't go out there. I don't believe that Tony Khan would be that stupid to go out there and say that, especially in front of a Chicago hometown, when he fired Punk, their boy, and the repercussions he would have got unless he had just cause, because he kept on using that with cause.
Yep.
So something probably snapped in Punk.
So the monitors, I guess, fell after he choked, basically put Jungle Boy Jack Perry in a front guillotine, choked him out and passed out. But I guess they fell into the monitors and the monitors knocked over into Tony Khan. But then apparently also, which is like a rumor thrown out there, hasn't been confirmed or denied or anything out there, though. Apparently, I guess Punk grabbed Khan at one point and was saying, like, what the fuck is going on in this shit show? I quit. So that could be a part of it as well.
Well, you can't grab the boss. You know, I mean, he had nothing to do with it. The kid, he didn't tell the kid to come up and pump into you. I mean, but I could see how Punk could get enraged. He's had a problem ever since he's been there with that group, right?
Yep.
And it's been divided. I don't know. Where do you think he goes from here?
So he was recently, because he does a MMA league. He's like the color commentator for the league.
I heard.
And he goes, I don't know. I got 2 months to kill, he said.
Yeah.
So that means his non-compete is 2 months old, or it's going to be 2 months long?
Is he going to make a return somewhere in 2 months?
So my guess would be is somehow his non-compete, maybe he says, I won't sue if you do a 2 month non-compete or something to that effect, because in 2 months time, November, Survivor Series is in Chicago for the WWE.
Yeah.
What would you think about Punk being in Chicago for that one?
I think he's trying to tell us something. Don't you?
It definitely feels that way to me. It's just funny to think, like, wow, he could be in WWE again. I mean, would you be shocked by that?
Yeah.
Would you think that he would do it? Would he return?
Oh, I think he wants to return.
But even after all the bad blood and all the stuff that went down with them, him suing them and this and that, you think that he would come back?
Absolutely. Look at all the guys Vince has taken back.
Warrior, Brett, Ventura, yeah. Bruno, yep. Hogan.
Yep. National.
No, yep. National, yep. The list goes on and on. So yeah. You don't think on his part there would be any sort of bad blood, like he would return because he's got such a bad taste in his mouth from AEW?
If he wants to do it and they want him, yeah, I could see him wanting to get revenge, can't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I thought you might be a little surprised to hear that he might be headed to WWE. Sounds like you're not surprised.
Not at all. Well,
does anything surprise you in this business?
Especially now with that merger.
With UFC and TKO taking off, yeah.
We had The Rock and Cena in the same SmackDown.
Yep.
We're going to see a lot more of that. Because, first of all, there's no movies being made.
Right. Strike, yeah.
Yeah, he may shoot Batista back.
True. I think, is it true that the writer's strike is over, but now the actor's strike is still going on, right? Isn't that what I read, I believe?
I don't think that, yeah, but it still involves the writing too, I believe, because that AI bullshit, you know.
Oh, where, yeah.
Where they get your persona for pituitary, right? And they can use it, put you in a... you're in a movie and you have some lines. They could take your persona and put it in another movie and AI you and not pay you for it. That seems to be the big hassle, if I'm reading it right.
Which is insane to think about it, because then you could just use the guy's likeness in perpetuity, and like he's not going to get paid for it. I mean, he should be paid some sort of stipend or whatever they call it, some sort of fee for the rest of his existence there.
Let me tell you something. You got Netflix, right?
Yep.
We got animated shows on. We got cartoon shows on. You know. They don't want to pay these actors $20 million. They can make the movies much cheaper. And the stuff, look at what they do at CS with the generated stuff now in the superheroes. I mean, we're on a slippery slope with this artificial intelligence, I think.
Hey, I'm right there with you. I totally agree. But just back to back to CM Punk here. When was the first time that you ever met Punk or came into contact with CM Punk?
It was in a six-man tag match with him at a convention years and years ago with Dustin, and I believe it was Abdullah against me and Punk, and I forget who else, but... You know, I think he's done wonders in the business. And I got to, you know, the UFC thing, a lot of people knocking for it.
Mm-hmm.
That took a lot of balls, especially after the first one. You know, his ears half hanging off and he's cut. I got to give him credit for trying. He tried. All these people that knock them, I don't see them training to get in the ring and trying it.
And you can't knock him getting $1 million either for it. So, I mean, no. You can't knock that.
And if you remember, he was paid for 2 years to train UFC style.
Yep.
Yeah. So what was that worth?
Do you think that that's looked at as a failure, or do you think that that's just something to hold over his head, or do you think look at it almost like a positive, like, hey, he tried it, you didn't kind of thing?
I think a lot of people hold it over his head because they're jealous. I think I have to commend them for trying it.
When you go back to 2005, when you're saying that's actually Wrestle Reunion show down at the Doubletree, the infamous Doubletree in Tampa, the main event, like you were saying, was Dustin and Mike Graham, with Mick Foley as a special guest referee, defeating Abdul the Butcher, yourself, and CM Punk. You guys had Harley Race and Oliver Humperdinck in your corner, but the Rhodes Boys and Mike Graham did get the win. So what an interesting match there, Wrestle Reunion, with you, yeah. Punk, and Abdullah. What a team.
Yeah.
Was that your first time, like, noticing who he was, or did you know who he was before that?
Oh, that was the first time I really noticed him.
What did you think?
Thought he was good. Thought he was very good.
Did you see, like, huge star potential out of him, or what did you think of him?
I thought he had a lot of ability, and he worked hard at it and got the spot and continued to work hard. So my hats are off to him.
When you look at him at that era, obviously he's about to sign with WWE eventually, or pretty soon thereafter. But is that shocking to you that he ended up in WWE?
No, because he had Paul E. behind him.
Do you think that his look, though, like just as far as at that point, not the prototypical WB guy, not a Batista, not a Cena, not an Orton, look-wise?
I think he was the start of the change. One of the first, you know what I mean? It's like back then, you didn't see anybody his size. Now you don't see anybody barbarian or warlord size. So the whole thing is times change, fads change, styles change. That's why you need to keep up with all of it.
Very true. And before that, obviously, CM Punk, before he got signed, I mean, he made a huge name for himself in Ring of Honor, former ROH champion, just kind of just made a huge impression on the wrestling business, was in TNA Wrestling a little bit as well. But I feel like with Gabe Sapolsky and his relationship with Paul Heyman, I feel like that kind of opened the door and helped him get into OVW. And then, you know, obviously moving up to WWE, like you mentioned with Paul, did you know about any sort of Gabe Sapolsky, Paul Heyman, info, but like basically him passing along, like, hey, this guy's good.
Oh, but Gabe used to work for Paul.
Yes.
So, and I knew Gabe from that back then. So, you know, I'm assuming that Gabe called Paul and said, this guy got a lot of potential. And Paul looked at it and said, yeah, you're right.
And really, Punk, you know, obviously years later, but he became a huge Paul Heyman guy. So, you know, the Gabe kind of pass off really was a huge benefit to Punk when you look at it.
Right. Absolutely.
When Punk is in, like, the indie scene, you know, on the come up, do you know if WWE really scouts the indie scene? Because it seemed like for a while they didn't want indie guys. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't want those type of wrestlers.
No, I think that was a complete change, and I think they're back to not wanting them because of them trying to recruit high collegiate athletes, right?
And put them in the performance center and give them their way of training.
Right.
Do you think that's good or bad, though, on WWE's part?
They can't afford. They have to have people that are solid, and they can't afford to get a blemish because they're publicly traded. It's not like it was before. So do I think it's good or bad? No matter what I think, it doesn't matter, because they're doing the best they can for their corporation and their stockholders.
Do you think that guys with, you know, really limited experience in only WB style, do you think that hurts them? Because let's say a guy like AJ Styles, I mean, the guy had so much experience before them. He had experience on TV. He had experience with New Japan and TNA and all this other stuff. He comes in there. He's already made. He's already built. He kind of has a name. Do you think that is kind of the benefit of kind of knowing all that style and then going to WWE rather than being kind of fresh, green, well, nothing, and then being put into the system?
Well, Ring of Honor, go back to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where these guys made their name. Kerry Silkin was the owner at the time. Jimmy Cornette was the booker. They had first-class guys running the operation. Now, is there any company out there that's like a Ring of Honor? The only one I can think of is PCW Ultra, but they're only running 4 shows a year now. Those guys that worked there, they had Cornette, they had Kerry, they had a host of guys coming through. Funk worked there, right?
Yep.
Everybody worked there. Is there many places like that left? I don't think so. And it will get narrower and narrower, I believe.
true. Yeah. I mean, I guess OVW is trying to, you know, kind of get back to where they were back in the 2000s. But yeah, there's not really too many of those organizations left.
Did you see their Netflix special?
Yes. Very good. Did you like it?
I thought it was very good. And, you know, what I enjoyed, it was like it was a buildup for Al Snow's comeback. Huh?
Yes.
That was like, it was booked like a match.
Yes.
He kept on getting, they were getting the heat on him, getting the heat on him. He's fighting. He's getting knocked down. He's got to go slay the dragon because the dragon's going to eat the company. I love watching work out old-fashioned style.
Yep.
It was good. It was good. It was very good.
So with CM Punk and his time in WWE, obviously he goes there. He's in ECW first, the other ECW, if you will, the new breed of ECW, which obviously is a lot different.
Yeah.
But when you look at it, they kind of, I don't know, it's one of those things where, yes, Heyman likes him. They're seeing good things. But when he first gets there, maybe they kind of don't know what to do with him. Or what do you think? Because he gets put in the ECW brand. He is ECW champion, but... You know, that wasn't a brand they were really necessarily pushing.
Yeah, but, you know, look at it now. It's almost like NXT. They put them guys there, developed them. Maybe some of them thought they were going to teach them some new habits. So I don't think it hurt them going there at all.
Got to mention too, just quickly, his time in OVW, because obviously that's where Heyman was booking at the time. Heyman was actually relegated to OVW when he was down there, so he was the OVW tag champ, the TV champ, and the OVW heavyweight champion. So obviously Heyman saw a good deal of him and liked him a lot, and had this great feud with Brent Albright. If anybody hasn't seen it, basically it was like kind of like over a strap. It was like Brent Albright's grandfather's strap. So it was very, very old school type feud, but you could tell Heyman saw maybe a lot more in him and was doing more with him in OVW than necessarily he was getting in ECW when he first came in.
Yeah, that's why I said, Paul. So maybe they were a little reluctant to push a guy a different look. But it worked out for him. Good luck to him.
So, you know, he does end up winning the ECW championship. He was actually supposed to fight Benoit at one point. And obviously we all know what happened with Chris Benoit in that situation, but he kind of misses out on that and then feuds with John Morrison over the ECW title and kind of goes in a different direction. When he ends up in WWE, he's not doing much. It's basically 2008, but he does win the Money in the Bank ladder match at WrestleMania 24. So it's like they're see something in him, but not giving him the world. You know what I mean? It's like a slow burn kind of when he first gets there with WWE. Like they could tell the crowd was into him, but maybe not necessarily Vince was that into him yet.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it was. I'm sure that's what it was. This is a whole different character that he's been pushing.
Do you think that he doesn't fit the mold necessarily of a Vince guy?
At the time, yeah.
And do you think that held him back at all? Just from like, hey, I don't like this guy. You know, he's tattooed and he's not muscular.
I don't think that held him back. It might have urged him to work harder. You know, you just because somebody comes in and gets a little bit of a ripple, back then Vince, he still has complete control, right? But back then it was, you know, he could relegate you to the wastelands, right?
Yep.
So, yeah.
So
I can't blame Vince at all. It's his company. He could do what he wants.
So he did win the title. He cashes in money, wins the Money in the Bank, but then cashes it in that beats Edge for the world title. But he only holds the belt for 69 days. So it's not like a long title run. Is that what you would call like a test run? I mean, what would you call that for like a babyface only to be champion for that long? I know different time here in 2000s WWE where everybody was champion and they were champion only for a short amount. But how do you take that as a booker?
Well, I think they wanted to see. You know, when Ali won the belt, he only had it like for 45 days, 65. It's because he was interim champion, right? Not interim champion. He was the crossover, the guy to hand the belt off.
Transitional, yeah.
Yeah, transitional. That was maybe what Punk was, too.
You think even a babyface? Do you like a babyface as a transitional champ? That usually WWF style or WWE style was a heel transitional champ.
Yeah, but things started to change. Because how many guys had the belt switched the 2 years before he got it? So many guys, right?
Yep.
So.
Then WrestleMania 25, he wins Money in the Bank again. So 2 years in a row, he wins Money in the Bank. So there's got to be something that they're liking about him, right? I mean, 2 years right. in a row.
Well, the thing is, babyface has to struggle. The story ends. And I watched this series that I like Netflix because of they have some international shows that are very good. And I watched a series about from Spain, and it's by the place we used to vacation quite a bit. And I know the area, and it was very intertwined, and the baby faces were turning heels, the heels were turning baby faces. But at the end, the good won over, but good got the shit kicked out of it for 7 seasons. Made a comeback on its 8th, so it was like we talked about the Netflix thing with Al Snow. He made the comeback, right?
Yes. Yep.
That's all it was. If he had done it on the second program, we wouldn't have watched the other 8 episodes.
It's true. It's true. So after he cashes in Money in the Bank again, he defeats Jeff Hardy for the championship. Obviously, he's going to get a way longer run this time. He ends up feuding with Hardy for a while. They have some really good matches. Then he ends up in a feud with The Undertaker, where he eventually beats Taker. There's a lot of chicanery because he's a heel now. But he ends up losing the title to Undertaker and kind of ending that feud in that manner. But still, he's kind of, you could see, even though champ, he's elevating himself, right? I mean, feuding with The Undertaker in the main events a lot of the time.
Yeah, of course.
Is that something when you look at it, it's like there's a good spot in the card to be champion, but once you face guys like Undertaker and guys of that level, you're almost not even really it's set on TV, but you're elevating yourself to the fans, right?
Anybody that was working with The Undertaker and beating The Undertaker back then was really elevating themselves.
He also had the Straight Edge Society. Do you remember that? Where he basically said, you know, I'm drug-free, alcohol-free, yeah. better than you. And he had Serena Deeb. He shaved her head. And he had Luke Gallows shaved his head. Did you like that gimmick? That was pretty cool for the time.
It was different. It was different. And anything that's different is going to get eyes on it. Yeah.
Kind of reminded me of you a little bit because he was kind of like a cult leader in a certain aspect.
Yeah. Yeah, but completely, I thought the Straight Edge thing was very good. I remember an interview with him and Shawn Michaels. That was very good.
When you look at it, it's like, okay, he's doing that. That's great. But they are releasing some of the people that were in the Straight Edge Society. So kind of loses luster. And then he becomes the leader of the New Nexus, which kind of was WWE's failed attempt at creating not an NWO, but like a group of guys of outsiders that are coming in and then kind of taking over the company. Really, they were like rookies from FCW, and they had the TV show, and they were unhappy with the TV show. But eventually he becomes the leader of the New Nexus. You think that's kind of like, I don't know, a downgrade for him? Like that, yeah. that kind of relegated to now he's the leader of a group that already was a failure?
Yeah, I thought it was bad. Yeah.
What do you think? Does that mean like political turmoil? Is he in trouble backstage? Like, no, why do you think he was getting the downshift?
I don't think guys come up with ideas we overthink this. They don't think, oh, let's write a segment to make this guy look bad. And the ratings come in, the shits, nah, that don't work for me. I'm sorry. All of wrestling is paranoia. For being in the business is wrestling paranoia. Being a wrestling fan's paranoia. But let's not forget one thing. It's a business. If their ratings keep going to shit, who's going to hire you if you drive the company down? That's just my opinion. Sometimes guys think that maybe he had an idea. And I've had ideas that I thought I could make work that I didn't make work. So that seems to be my take on that.
Then, of course, the pipe bomb, you know, the infamous pipe bomb back in 2011, which kind of basically made him kind of stand apart. He broke the fourth wall, if you will. He was talking directly to the camera. He kind of just sat down and cut this awesome promo, you know, making fun of Cena, making fun of Vince and Triple H and Stephanie, and kind of revealing some stuff. Do you think that kind of endeared him more? Because after that, it was like to the moon as far as his popularity.
People tell me that was a shoot. Are you shitting me? They would have cut that mic off.
Right, of course, yeah.
I want that. So what I'm saying about the paranoia. I mean, let's rewind this show. Blah, 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 blah. I say to you, after they fire Punk, you think it's a work. Of course it's not a work. But we've been ingrained into wrestling that something is not right. You know what I mean? Because the whole thing is, if you really look at what we do, it's a lie from the beginning to the end. So we have a tendency, and I don't mean a lie, but it's not real.
It's a work, yeah. Yep.
So because it's a work, we have a tendency to think they're working somewhere inside the work. Sometimes it's just wrestling.
So with this, it's a funny thing with the pipe bomb, because he wins the title, he feuds with Cena, he loses the title thanks to a little bit of stuff with Kevin Nash that we talked about earlier. But it's one of those things where he pretends he's gone, then he comes back. I mean, they tried to do a lot of teasing of reality at this point. Like, oh, did he really leave the company as champion? What the hell's going on? I mean, do you like that? Like a lot of the work shoot stuff with his promo, with him pretending to be leaving the company as champion. You like all that work shoot stuff?
It's been done too much.
I agree. And it's funny with Nash and the LA Knight stuff, because Nash was kind of saying a few weeks ago about CM Punk, he was bringing up the stuff from this year, from 2011, when they were kind of feuding and they were supposed to have a match, and it never happens. And for God knows what reason, Triple H ends up wrestling Nash instead, and they have a ladder match. I mean, legit makes no sense. It's the dumbest thing ever. They should have Punk versus Nash. Where does Triple H come into this? It was so stupid. But the funny thing is, Nash called Punk a short order Waffle House cook from Pikesville. I was like, it's so creative of a thing. And I always tickle. I always thought that was funny. And he called him skinny fat. And, you know, Nash had a bunch of good one-liners to Punk at this point. And obviously, Punk comes back at him saying like, oh, I thought you were dead. My little sister Shailene was making fun of you because this old guy who can barely walk with the crickety knees is still wrestling. So they had a good barbs and some good back and forth for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you like this short order Waffle House cook line?
Oh, yeah. It's classic.
Now, he ends up winning the title at Survivor Series and holding the belt for 434 days as WWE World Champion. He'll eventually, during that run, you know, he'll turn heel. He'll become a full-fledged Paul Heyman guy. Heyman will join him. I mean, to be champion for that long in that era, I mean, that's pretty damn impressive, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. What does that say, though, like that they were putting a belt on him for that long?
They had somebody behind him and I think it was Paul singing his praises and rallying for him anytime they talked about maybe taking the belt off.
When you look at it, though, he was world champion 434 days. He did get some main events, but he wasn't in all the main events. Does that bother you at all?
Again, a different time. And as long as they paid him, it didn't matter. Because they had other things going at the time. And I liked the title to be the main event every time, but I've seen it at different times than where it wasn't.
Champion for 434 days, but did not main event WrestleMania. Does that bother you?
Yes.
It supposedly bothered him as well, because 1 year The Miz got to main event WrestleMania, and, you know, if I'm CM Punk, I'm champion for 434 days, I didn't get the main event WrestleMania. He was, quote-unquote, one of the main events, but he did not go on last, so he's not the world champion.
Yeah, I know.
Does that...
It's just their way of doing business. When you sign up for a job, even... It isn't like there's 10 companies to work for back then when he was doing it, right? You either take it or leave it. You can make a bitch about it, but the more you bitch, the more they're going to say, okay, we got to get rid of this guy. And then we all know it didn't end well there with them at all. So who knows, but...
He'll end up losing the world title, you know, 34 days later. So awesome title run, and it's great. But on one aspect, I'm always like, wow, that's unbelievable. 434 days, there was a record for a while. Just unbelievable that he was able to do that and become a Heyman guy. I mean, he really became a huge star, a top act. He became more popular than Cena, which people might not believe or don't want to take into consideration. But he was doing better on the house shows than him. He was doing better on the merchandise. I mean, he was hitting all the things that check marks and check boxes that you would think, which means he should be in the main event. He's the top guy. But then The Rock comes back and he loses the title to The Rock. So it's one of those things where I think he got really bitter and pissed off that he was checking all the boxes along the way. Hey, I did this better than Cena. I did that better than Cena. Okay. But in the end, he's not Cena.
I'm going to interrupt you. Okay, Cena. Let's not count Cena. You said when The Rock came back.
He's not The Rock either, obviously. And they were building to Rock Cena.
He's not The Rock. There's no other one like The Rock. I've seen them all. Did you see the ovation he got?
Yes, that was awesome. Yep.
20 minutes he talked. He had me hooked the whole time. And I knew he was going to give me the people's elbow. You did too. We all did.
Yep.
But we were mesmerized for 20 minutes, so... You can't compare apples and oranges.
So what they were really doing in WWE, which kind of hurts Punk, but the marquee match from WrestleMania 28 was Rock beating Cena in the main event. So then WrestleMania 29 was the rematch where obviously Cena is going to end up beating The Rock. So that's where kind of you're kind of stuck in that title run. But hey, guess what? Punk Cena was, you know, Cena Rock was what they were building towards. It's almost like Punk's the third wheel.
Yeah, things like that happen, though.
Apparently was not too enthralled. That really made him bitter, I guess, towards WWE. That The Rock comes back and, you know, part-time guy steals the spot of a guy that was just champion for 434 days. But that's just business, right?
Again, you saw what The Rock did. Okay. We got to have someone pinch hit, right? Seventh game of the World Series. We need to win so this franchise doesn't move. Correct?
Yep.
We got bases loaded. We're down by 3 runs. This is about when pitchers used to hit. pitcher's going to come up. We got two designated hitters, two pinch hitters. Rock or Punk? Which one are you sending up?
You got to go Rocky.
That's it. And that's not taking away anything from Punk.
He did end up fighting Undertaker for the streak at WrestleMania 29, which is the best match on the show, obviously. Does that mean a lot, though? Because that felt like that's one of the main events, but he felt like it wasn't the main event, so that pissed him off.
I'm sure a lot of things piss people off, but you're wrestling against the streak? I don't know.
Loses to Undertaker, of course. So just there's a little bit of a pattern here where he's wrestling the top guys and losing, which isn't necessarily bad, but maybe it's sticking in his craw a little bit because loses to Rock at Royal Rumble and the Elimination Chamber. Then he loses to Undertaker at WrestleMania. Then he loses to Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. All great matches. He did a great job. Is that just the nature of the beast here? Like you're going to lose to some of these guys on your way up to the top?
Absolutely. Who would you have him beat?
Well, I wouldn't have had him end the streak. Maybe he could have beat Lesnar, I guess, but I wouldn't have had him end the streak.
Okay, you wouldn't have him end the streak, right?
Right.
Would you have him beat Rock?
No. Okay. The first match, yes, I would have had some sort of schmoz in the second one and maybe not have him lose, but not beat The Rock, no.
Would you have him beat Rock just coming in?
Yeah, that's true. It's all timing, too. It's all kind of where they were headed in the storyline, yeah.
Right.
And they were kind of headed towards him being a babyface and Heyman kind of leaving him. And obviously Lesnar being with Heyman. So it was, I don't know, it's one of those things where it kind of makes sense storyline-wise. But this is all bothering him, though. He's all like, I should be getting some of these wins over these guys.
That's his prerogative. That's what he sees.
And then he feuds with the Shield, and then he's doing that thing, and Ryback and Paul Heyman. But then he's about to feud with Triple H, and he says to Triple H, you need me more than I need you. So he decides not to. He decides to quit WWE. He didn't want to wrestle Triple H at WrestleMania 30.
He can do what he wanted, save his money.
Do you think that was a problem? I mean, Triple H, huge star, you know, big name, and he's not going to want to wrestle Triple H at WrestleMania. Is that a problem to you?
Are we betting on this match?
Maybe.
I mean, it's a work.
Right.
If you're going to be in a main event at WrestleMania, do you have to win? You win when they hand you the paycheck. And I don't mean to be cold about that, but you're going against the son-in-law, who's going to be there forever.
Yep. And that's a big, because he's probably going to win, more than likely going to be Triple H. I mean, maybe who knows, because he's lost him before, but more than likely going to get the win there. But that's a big marquee main event style match. Not the main event. You're not going on last. It was Daniel Bryan's turn at this point, and timing wise, and he was the most over guy. So he was going to win the main event of WrestleMania this year. So it's kind of just one of those things where timing maybe with Punk just didn't match up.
Yeah, and he's surrounded by a whole lot of good guys. The one you just said, that Daniel Bryant. Who would you put over in that match, Punk or Bryant?
At that point, definitely Bryant. I mean, he was the most over guy.
But now, so he's losing the four guys.
Yep. He's losing everybody. Damn. I don't know. It's just one of those things where timing wise, if you look at it, it kind of was the right call by WWE, because where they were going with business, where, you know, what they were doing, what they wanted to accomplish.
Absolutely. And I don't think they were going to forget what he did for them. I'm not sure. But I'm just saying.
when you look at it too, he was wrestling with a staph infection. So there was an issue with the doctor. Remember, he went on Colt Cabana's podcast and kind of, you know, talked about that. And obviously, there was a huge lawsuit over it. So there was a lot of behind the scenes stuff going on.
I'm going to stop you right there.
Mm-hmm.
Is this podcast that he went on the same guy that he had a meltdown backstage with?
Years later, yeah.
Oh, okay. I just want to clarify that.
That was his former friend 10 years earlier, whatever it was. Yeah, 8 years earlier, I was his buddy. But that was kind of the start of the issue, because remember, Punk was saying he was going to cover Cabana's legal fees, and I guess he ended up not covering his legal fees for getting sued by WWF for doing the shoot interview, the shoot podcast interview.
Yeah, I mean, some of us, you know, they won the lawsuit, but who knows?
Legal fees. I mean, whew, God knows what they were with WWE. Yeah. So, you know, he quits. He says all this stuff on the podcast. He talks about the staph infection. He talks about the doctor being horrible, and he quits. And that just seems like it's going to be the end of him in the WWE for a while. He does come back, and he does that Fox show, if you remember. Remember, he was on the WWE backstage. So it wasn't necessarily an agreement with WWE. It was more an agreement with Fox. But WWE has to okay that at some point, right, that he's allowed on there?
Yeah.
What do you think about that, though? He's doing a show on Fox about WWE, but he's not really in WWE.
It shows me that Vince doesn't hold grudges if he can make money.
Of course, that show was canceled during COVID and really just kind of never kind of got off the ground, really. But it's just so interesting. It's like, wow, he quit the company years earlier, but then he came back to do that show. But that, you're right. It just shows something with Vince, because obviously he's got to okay it at some point.
Yeah. Right off the get-go.
With that, like you said, too, it's like, okay, you wouldn't be surprised if he returned to WWE, but he doesn't return yet, that we're seeing as far as Survivor Series, but he does make his debut in AEW in 2021. They sell out the United Center, 20,000 people in Chicago. I mean, my God, he's setting Pro Wrestling Tees t-shirt records. He's doing big business and big numbers. Did you expect that as far as Punker and kind of the reaction that he got and just what he was able to do for AEW business?
He did a great job. Incredible job. My hat's off to him.
Do you think that's one of the biggest pops of all time when he returned to the United States and they were chanting for 10 minutes there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without question.
Remember, he even had fans crying? Do you remember that? They were showing the guys in the crowd. That was crazy.
Yeah.
That might be a little pushing it, but I guess they were emotional. They were shocked that he came back after 7 years.
Yeah, it was very, very emotional. It was good. It was real.
Of course, he had his problems with the Young Bucks and Adam Page, and obviously we talked about that before on other episodes, but he's a few-time AEW champion. Do you think his time in AEW is definitely over? Because Meltzer just recently said, like, he could be brought back down the line. Is that possible?
Anything's possible, but I don't think so on this one.
Would they want him back?
Sure. You're going to have a tough time without him.
So I was
Listen.
Yep.
Where's Cody Rhodes?
WWE dominating.
Where's the girl that had the undefeated streak, Carlisle?
Oh, Jade Cargill. Yeah, she's the head of WWE, yeah.
Where's Punk?
Free agent, apparently.
Where's he headed to?
Apparently WWE, the rumor. My only thing with AEW is I think they could survive this, and I think they'll be okay. But
oh, they're going to survive, yeah. They're going to be very okay.
But he was their number one draw. He was the number one merchandise guy. He was the number one pay-per-view guy. He was popping ratings. I know Collision is on a Saturday night. It's a little bit different. But when he was actually on Rampage and Dynamite, he popped the biggest ratings they've ever had, pretty much. So, I mean, how do you make up for that?
Get the guys to work harder. Let Daniel, Ryan Danielson seems to be a very smart young man. To me, I'm sure he's been thinking about finishes before he's even in the business and angles. Tony needs to put him up by his side.
Trust in Brian Danielson for sure.
Yeah.
So Punk's last feud in AEW was against Samoa Joe, who he had feuded with ROH about 20 years earlier. And that was the end of his run, like we talked about at the beginning, basically about how he got fired after the Jack Perry fight. Tony Khan feared for his life. Maybe he grabbed Tony Khan at one point. He was enraged. And then he got fired with cause. So basically, the end of his run is that Samoa Joe match. And that might be the end of Punk in AEW until we see him in WWE, right?
Yeah. I think you're right.
What do you think about Punk's legacy? What do you think it is right now if he's done with wrestling?
We're going to have to see what happens in the next few months before we decide what his legacy is.
One of the all-time greats to me, just as far as what he's been able to accomplish in like the last 20 years.
Without question, I believe that.
All right, so let's wrap it up and head towards the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. Kevin, what else do you got going on in this crazy world?
I'm going to be at that 90s convention. So I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. You're going to be there, right?
Yes. 90s Wrestling Con, Rockaway Mall in Rockaway, New Jersey. Hit me up if you got any details that are needed. I will definitely help you there. 90s Wrestling Con, September 30th. So it's going to be a big one. Kevin Nash will be there as well.
Oh, great.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. See you right back here next time. Have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPT Empire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.